the Hecker Country Store, it's been the hot topic of discussion all day long.
Everybody keeps coming in, starting at breakfast through lunch, stating they have seen something in the sky.
What they've seen has them all mystified.
Large, bright light with four lights around it rotating. Some have said it's single, bright, solid color light. Other ones said it's like red, green, yellow, and pink, just rotating around.
Witnesses tell Fox 2 it was much larger than a planet, but it definitely was not the moon. Judy and Jim Rachel live in Freeburg, Illinois. They say they first saw this unidentified light all the way back in early October.
It looked like the sun that had shrunken down to like the size of a soccer ball. And that's what it looked like to me.
Call police?
No, because I thought, well, they're not going to believe me either.
But she did tell her husband, who was skeptical at first.
Got me out of bed, over to the window.
Keeping watch for aliens here in Lakewood, Ohio. It's the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown, and with Jessica McKeown.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we have the very edges of the storm that the news media is calling Sandy here, blowing through Northeast Ohio. And we have a modest supply of Mexican Coke, Pepsi, throwback, and some food also. And I think we're ready to ride out the storm.
Yeah, on Twitter it's hashtag Frankenstorm. So you can check that out and see what people are talking about. People in the north, east, I guess, are getting hit really bad. We just have a lot of wind and rain and lots of debris flying around.
Yeah, and back here in this room, maybe you'll hear the wind blowing by every once in a while. So you can just get a little sense of what it's like to be in this storm. Now, we've got a number of topics coming up, and it's going to include some Android photo apps that I've been looking at. I also have some observations about the upcoming elections that I'm hoping Jessica will add some of her thoughts also. And this song here is by Jim. Close election, but there's a lot of debate as to who is really ahead, whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. Now, there's a blogger at the New York Times called Nate Silver who has a blog called 538 that he writes about his projections of the election. He looks at polls and other data, and he runs projections, and then he predicts what he sees as the likelihood of the winner in the presidential election being. Because the projections that Silver's putting out there seem to come down 70-30 in favor of Obama winning when he looks at the whole picture and the Electoral College, the Electoral Map, all that with all the different polling, there's a certain backlash from the stupid Republican side because they're trying to push this false narrative that Mitt Romney is ahead. Hasn't that, now, do you, have you heard that meme out there lately after the Denver debate that Mitt Romney has been trying to make people think that he has momentum, and the media for a few days picked it up and seems to have kind of slowed down.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever really been ahead, and I think they're just pushing it to keep the story going, to keep people interested. And we were just saying now with the storm, just a few days before the election, it might really put a damper on both sides. One, because Obama's got to go be a president, and two, because how dare you campaign when there's more important things going on, like our Americans. And Mitt Romney's already been accused of being an insensitive bastard, making comments about, you know, certain percentages of America.
Yeah, 47%. I mean, it's very hateful comments where he's demeaning almost half the country in some very, you know, obviously calculated and insensitive way. And, he's deluded. He's a liar. You know, this guy's no good. Mitt Romney is a contemptible, lying extremist who hates decent, freedom-loving Americans. No one should vote for him. What we need to think about is, should anyone vote for Barack Obama? And, certainly a lot of people are going to vote. Is this really something that liberals should do? This is a question that's actually been asked by Matt Stoller. This is a guy who has been a congressional staffer and a liberal blogger. And he's asking the question, should liberals really vote for Obama? Or progressives? Should they vote for Obama?
Yeah, I mean, he made a really good case. You know, the article in the show notes is worth a read. And it's basically, it comes down to this point of, you know, the lesser of two evils is what a lot of people are saying. And, you know, even when you vote for him, think about what you're voting for and think about the policies. He talks about the drones in Pakistan and, you know, the killing of Americans and all these anti-constitutional or anti-human rights legislation that he's put in place.
And yeah, all the promises about getting rid of stuff like national security letters and in the campaign and then not doing it.
Yeah, so, you know, I actually really enjoyed it because he's making that hard call. But I think a lot of, you know, liberals, progressives kind of know that, you know, how do we can't change that right now. But it's good that we're starting the conversation. You know, like, we still have to play defense, I guess. We still have to begrudgingly vote for this Obama. So to have the lesser of two evils and to not have Romney. But we need to start organizing ourselves and gathering momentum around what does the next president look like? What kind of person do we want to have in there? You know, get rid of this system of politics as we know it and create a new one.
Well,
and
you know, take a long time, the problem is, you know, Barack Obama, also seems to not really be doing much for the regular, you know, working man and woman. And that's a real problem. Like that, you know, we're talking about Romney obviously is not, you know, in it for anyone but the richest 1%. And he basically makes comments to that effect that are, you know, out there. But Barack Obama is overseeing an expansion of power and assets of the wealthy and not of regular working people. And this is another issue that Stoller brings up. And he just, in addition to that, because Obama is the president, there's a lot of people that are blindly loyal to him, and so they're supporting torture and drones and terrible mm-hmm. things like that. And, you know, Stoller says, well, what if it's a Republican? Then people will be more resistant to this, at least on the left. And these are people, liberals, progressives, whatever, unfortunately, the people that are, you know, much more likely than others, like conservatives and libertarians, to oppose these terrible policies in practice. So, I mean, you know, it's like when Obama is in office, he helps neutralize that group of people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
well, Obama has neutralized a lot of people on the left, and what you were saying?
Well, yeah, I just think that, you know, the article really wants people to be aware that we deserve better. We need to have better as this nation, and we need to really start thinking about the criteria for a president and what it means to be Democratic and what it means to be a liberal, progressive. You know, where are we going to move and shift that momentum? Because I think the problem, too, the people who just vote blindly for Obama are just as bad as the people who vote for Romney.
Well,
you know?
and this
they're just,
is...
They're not aware, and they think he's all great. And just like, they're the same people that, if you, I would bet you, if you asked them, you know, what do you think about Bill Clinton? Oh, he was great, too. And they're not going to remember any of the downsides of his presidency.
Yeah,
so they have
there
that
are many
blindness.
Downsides.
So they're just the stupid heads on the other side.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think one of the problems with the so-called netroots is that they have become blindly loyal to Obama, and they've lost a lot of their leverage. Now, not, you know, some of the people that are writing articles and really, you know, taking a stand against the lack of follow through on a lot of liberal, you know, agenda items by the Obama administration. I mean, for every blogger though on the left in the progressive blogosphere or the netroots or whatever people want to call it, like, there's a lot of people that are blindly following the president, or at least maybe wringing their hands, but saying that, well, you got to vote for Obama, you got to support him, and then when they see the challenges on the other side, they're, you know, kind of provoked into strongly supporting Obama. People come around to that, you know, like, and is that part of the issue with them? And of course, then the question is there really a big decline in the netroots? Because there's an article that's out there that is making that case.
I have tried to live each day as a last. I have found life is long. I've gone and got past, and it's best to stand in the shelter of my love. Hanging on all of the love is forever on the grave.
Just like the thud and stuff, it just sounds like knocking and.
So Beth Orton has a new album, and I'm a really big fan of Beth Orton, and I've listened to her previous albums, and hasn't had an album in 6 years, and this one that just came out, The Sugaring Season, is excellent.
How'd you find out about
it? Something I could believe in. I'm red from first I
And I've got to say thanks to Jessica for telling me that Beth Orton had a new album. I knew it was on the way, but you're the one that told me about it, that when it was out.
Well, you know, I've been waiting for the new No Doubt album to come out for like forever, so I was excited to tell you that there actually was a new album out. I still think there's only one song. I don't know if the rest of the album is out. I've given up hope.
Well, the No Doubt, it's definitely out. The new No Doubt album is definitely out.
Is it on Spotify?
I think it's on Spotify.
I'll have to check that out then. But their promotions didn't work. They made me wait too long.
Oh, yeah. I think that the time of announcing stuff months ahead, it you know, and then and promoting it that way just doesn't really work. Now, some people will pre-order on iTunes, but I've never done that. I've never ordered something that isn't there yet. Have you ever pre-ordered anything on iTunes or one of those services?
I did just pre-order a book.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll count that, because I guess I was thinking music. I guess in that case, you haven't yet, but you did do a book. See, I think it is a nice convenience if you're a fan of the author or the artist and you really want to get it, but I don't know, you know, like, things get delayed. You never, you can't be sure about how things are going to work out with artists.
Well, with this pre-order, it's a lot of, like, Kickstarter style, too. Like, the product is sort of guaranteed. And for me, this book, it was guaranteed. And then if you pre-order, you get a special bonus, because what that does is it drives up the reviews and it drives up the bestseller, so they can launch and put out the books and already have a high ranking on the bestsellers list.
Okay.
So it's a book strategy. And now she's doing another strategy where she's going to do another special bonus if you buy it in the bookstore.
So you're like supporting the author.
Supporting the bookstore.
What author is this?
Her name is Chris Carr.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I have a Kickstarter that I wanted to actually talk about when we come right back. And as Jessica mentioned, you can get the show notes at djmcloud.com. The podcast number is 56, so you can search for that at the site. And this podcast is being recorded October 29th, 2012.
Watching the One World Network, the only network.
Good evening. The unexplained thirst epidemic continues across the globe, causing liquid riots. However, help is on the way thanks to our good sponsors in Repco.
So,
we've got to maximize earnings from an emerging planetary market like this.
Their newest product is improved water. A high-octane water substitute.
Thanks to improved water, now I'm just hungry.
Water is truly the lifeblood of life. But Earth's natural water is either...
Well, this is a clip from a video on a Kickstarter. The Kickstarter is from the everythingisterrible.com people and others, I think. What they're working on is something called Channel 2020. And it's about the reptilian overlords on their way to take over the Earth. Well, the newspaper industry is now contemplating in many areas just abandoning printed papers. What do you think of that?
Well, I was reading the article in the show notes about it, and basically what they were saying is that that's not really going to work if you abandon your print, because you get a lot of revenue from ads and subscriptions. And when you cut that, you don't have that revenue that pays the content makers, the reporters, the photographers, you know, the other news sources. So it might end up killing your online version as well.
Yeah, and I think that that might be a good point. I mean, I guess, yeah, that's the argument, right? That this guy, I think Nicholas Carr is the blogger that, you know, the link is to. And yes, he, you know, a lot of times he makes a lot of really good points. And here I don't really know, but I think that it's probably reasonable what he's saying, that the business just doesn't add up to enough revenues for its costs. And why get rid of the print when that actually brings in more cash than the online in many cases?
Yeah, I think the only problem I have was that it's just a very, you know, matter-of-fact argument, and it doesn't really push the conversation forward. There was some hints in there of, you know, some other possible suggestions, but I think, you know, that's really where the argument needs to go, is what's a better way for us to get our news, because really what it's talking about is advertisers, you know, and I think it would be nice to have advertising-free media.
Yeah, and how does that get achieved? Because I do like that idea, but is it just that people aren't going to make much money from publishing stuff? Or is it, you know, their subscription model that seems to work for some big papers like Financial Times or Wall Street Journal? And I guess the hot New York Times seems to be doing okay with its kind of hybrid paywall, or like semi paywall. Where do you think the revenue is going to come from?
I think it's changed. We had to pay more because we didn't have access to it, but now we have access to it. So I don't know that it's going to be the same money-making arena as it used to be. But I just think information needs to flow freely.
Well, one story that I had that I didn't want to belabor too much, but it, there's a link in the show notes. You can find at dgmcloud.com that the nuclear renaissance is over before it ever started. And, you know, it talks about all the different problematic, well, not all of the problematic ones, but a number of the problematic nuclear plants across the country and the different issues they're having, or whether they're, you know, being shut down or being talked about, you know, having them shut down, and how there's a, I guess the number that they had there was 104, and the number of nuclear plants in the country isn't being added to. They aren't building new ones, so, you know, the number is inevitably going to start declining.
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, I think I think I've been saying this for a while now, like, we are starting to outgrow the things we put in place that we just needed to do for temporary, or because we didn't have enough knowledge now that we know about nuclear power, we know that we don't need it.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, and I think more people need to really look at the science and really look at the effectiveness of nuclear power instead of listen to the myths, and they'd realize that, you know, it's not very good, and it's extremely dangerous, and it's really not any good at all.
Yeah, it could ruin life for many generations.
Yeah, in any area where it melts down, you know, it could make it unlivable for humans and probably a lot of animals too.
Yeah.
Well, I've looked at Android camera apps. Now, Android, I think, is as you could see, as to which one had Instagram first and which one had second. Android is probably the secondary market still for photography in a lot of ways on mobile compared to iOS. You know, I have an iPhone 4S and I use that for photos, and it's really good. But I did want to just keep, you know, pay a little bit of attention to what was going on in the Android market as well. So to that end, I've downloaded some photo apps for my Android tablet, and I like this Camera ICS Plus app. What do you think of this one, Jessica?
It's got a nice big trigger button, and it's pretty easy to maneuver. And does it do a square photo?
It does.
4x3.
It does a photo that's somewhat rectangular,
yeah.
But it's based on whether you have it sideways or up and down, and you know, it's a flexible interface like that. But what goes on with Android is people will get the interface that's designed by the the tablet or handset maker, and it's a layer on top of stock Android. So even the camera will be from the manufacturer. So if you have a Samsung phone or tablet, it's likely that your camera app will be the default camera app will be the Samsung camera app, which actually is okay in their 4.0 version, I think. But this is a nice simple camera app that is actually the way that Android 4.0 stock comes. So if you go into the Google Play Store and you look for camera ICS Plus, this is like I think, at least according to what they say, it's based on the stock Android camera. So that's it's kind of a cool app to try, because just a simple way to snap photos with your tablet or phone. And a lot of people like the new iPhoto for iOS. I'd say I'm one of those people. It's pretty cool. I use it on my iPhone. But what if you want a photo manager or kind of a little bit of photo archiving, a little bit of photo editing, managing, sharing, some of those features, filters, just like, you can get on iPhoto. Well, you can also find on Aviary. It is on iOS, but also there is a version for Android. And I do think this is a cool thing to have, because this kind of gives you a unified look at the photos you've taken lately, because the gallery app can be kind of all over the place in Android. And this is a nice simple way to view your recent photos, share them, and you can edit them with some simple filters. And so I do think that this that's a cool app. Now, in terms of an app where it's really just about the filters, there's this app called Pixel Mixer.
Okay.
Have you ever used Aviary on iOS?
I haven't.
Yeah. This Pixel Mixer app is another one that has filters. Now, that's its primary function, but it's kind of cool. Like you take a photo that you snapped, and then you have a lot of different filters to run it through, and they have a lot of different effects. Some different LOMO effects. Warm or toaster, but then also stuff like ice blue or evergreen, all sorts of different effects. And currently I'm looking at a picture of Jessica that I took, and it's really cute.
It's silly. I've got a crazy side ponytail.
I love it. You can also put more than one filter on, so then you can you can layer different filters on top of each other and see the effect in a real-time preview.
Nice.
So the link to these apps in the Google Play Store is in the show notes. So, yeah, I would recommend trying those to get a little bit of, Android photo editing, even if some of those are actually available in iOS. Like, sometimes you want to, maybe you're using an Android device and you want to have some good tools. And, Camera ICS Plus, of course, that's an Android only title. Now, there is one other one called Vignette. This is a really simple photo tool. This is the really simplistic approach to Android photography. You just take the device, you aim it, and then you press anywhere on the screen, and you just get a nice picture. And it's actually like a really cool simple interface, because it gives you the preview, and then you can save and close, or you can run it through different effects and then save those. So, it has like a Polaroid style and a retro and stuff. So it does have some filters also, but it'll just work as a camera too. So I think what, those four are a nice selection of cool, photo apps for Android, if you're running Android 4.0. Now, I noticed there is a camera JB Plus. Now, if you're running Jelly Bean, like 4.1 version of Android or later, there is an equivalent to that, where they give you the stock photo that would come with the later Android system, because I'm running on an Android 4.0 tablet, so that was the reason I picked that camera ICS Plus. But I just think information needs to flow freely. Zynga, the company that does so-called social games or whatever, like Farmville, they laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah, 150 or so.
Yeah, a week or two ago.
Yeah, they had to consolidate. They grew too big, too fast.
Yeah, and it seems like they're having a really hard time now. Like, there's extreme competition in their in that sector of gaming right now, right? Like, a lot of people have adopted the formula of social games, and because of the competition, I think the cost of developing a game has gone up because people expect better quality, I think. Like, maybe, I don't know, because for a while the joke was, like, among I guess more serious gamers or not less Facebook-centric gamers, that the graphics were terrible on those games, and it was so ridiculous, the gameplay mechanics were simplistic or dumb or just actually even worse, right? They were just goading people into trying to basically give their friends annoying messages on Facebook, and while maybe spending money for crops if they could get them to do that. And now Zynga is having a hard time doing that because, I don't know, like, maybe a lot of their customers are just done with that. And then how do they attract new customers? And supposedly another problem, of course, you know, not along the structural problems of, you know, increased supply, increased competition driving gaming costs, but also there's a lot of talk that Facebook isn't really doing the distribution for them anymore, that they used to allow people to very easily put that stuff in timelines a lot, right? And it's not that people, you know, are not playing those games anymore, but it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy because other people aren't seeing that other people are playing the games as much in their timeline. I guess there other people aren't playing, they're not being engaged as much, they're not having their friends, you know, see it, so the games aren't continuing. I think those things are all interlocking to make it very difficult. I don't know, you know, maybe like using some of those games, some people have moved on to better games, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just the very fact that you can block those kind of requests on Facebook shows that that's not getting the support and that people found it annoying. And
yeah, it is annoying, right?
You know, like you said, there's people that are probably still playing it, but they don't have that sort of group effect of drawing people in anymore because they've lost that social aspect. And so many times companies build themselves upon another platform, which their whole entire business, or not whole, but mostly a good portion of it is based on that, and something that's ever-changing that they have no control. That's a huge, huge risk to have, you know, yeah, your business. I mean, so I think they've got to know that this could have happened and how to deal with it and what to cut and just to see how they if they can survive now.
Well, yeah, now if you look at companies like EA or somebody, like, they're very dependent on a few platforms, right? Like, they have some games for iOS and Android, but it's a minor thing. Like, they haven't moved in very effectively into, like, Facebook or whatever. If they have, I don't know. Like, but, you know, they have the PS3 and Xbox games, like Madden or whatever, and then you have all these games. What about these studios that develop really just for Xbox, and then also the ones that do mainly PlayStation 3 games? Now, you know, we play PlayStation 3 games. Like, we've just been playing Tekken Tag Tournament recently.
We have, yep. A lot of fun. Very cool. Crazy backgrounds.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy backgrounds. A lot of birds, like geese, parrots, and other stuff in the background. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I wasn't noticing that as much.
I
was winning.
Yeah, you beat me. You did. You're good at those games, and I think that you and I playing, like, when we do play against each other, it's very difficult for me to beat you at any of the Tekken games. Sometimes in Soul Calibur, depending on the matchups and the character, I can be competitive. But Tekken is that kind of game where you just take me on, you just have a forceful way of winning in those games. I gotta give you props.
Yeah, it's my I got gamer cred for sure. Working at GamePro, one of the old school magazines that's no longer around.
Yeah, that just closed recently. But you were there when they were a big thing. Like, you know, like what, you know, like 8 years ago or something like that.
We were laughing, but I was there when we were transitioning to the internet, and the idea was that you could write as much as you wanted on the internet. And you'd write these really long, long reviews and pieces because you had the space. And how different that world is now in just a few short years.
Baby, come on.
I compiled a playlist on YouTube. It's 62 videos, 4 hours, 41 minutes, and 3 seconds of PacificPelican.us/podcast videos. Now, this is a video blog that Jessica and I did for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And it has, like, episodes in order. So it starts in 2007, like May of 2007. And it goes through July of 2012.
Yeah, so it's quite a journey and a lot of fun to watch. So pop some popcorn and, you know, put it on play all, and you'll never have spent a better 4 hours and change.
I mean, you can try it and see what you think. The videos become HD at some point, but let me tell you, it is a range of different cameras that were used. The beginning, I think we were using the old Casio XLM that we had, and then
a
little while in, certainly by that Yosemite podcast number 8, we were using the Panasonic Lumix.
Yep, the trusty Lumix.
Yeah, that's a good camera. And then that was the main camera for a while, but at times, like, I know a lot of the footage in podcast 11, and some of the footage at different points along here for a while then Samsung, I don't know if it was, you know, like, it was like a flip phone, but it had an okay video camera for 2007. It wasn't really much, actually, but, you know, so it's like that's the cell phone cam footage. You get that's edited in with cameras that after a while, after a long run of that Lumix, start to give way to footage taken by iPhones and by DSLRs and by my Sony HD video camera. So, you know, it goes up to HD, but it, you know, there's a lot of different styles and a lot of different cameras. We edited it with, I edited it on a PC with really simple, like, ULEED video editor software for a while, and then I was using some Corel stuff, and then finally I started using iMovie 08, and then iMovie 09 was a lot better. Used that for a while. And then at the end, I was using Adobe Premiere and, Final Cut Pro. But that was toward the end there. So it was kind of evolution of, you know, figuring out how to edit a little bit, too.
Yeah, so you'll see the definite, you know, difference from the first to the last, but always entertaining.
Yeah, you see Jessica, whether it's beans or no beans, or, you know, talking in San Francisco about art, or you might see our parakeets, for sure. You know, if you watch some of those videos, you might see a, you know, you know, like 8th Street in San Francisco, or you might see downtown there, and then, you know, you're going to see some stuff in Ohio and, you know, up at Michigan State, you know, it's a range of stuff. A little bit in New York and Columbus.
All over. Got lots of good stuff. Maybe some Indianapolis in there even.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's any Indianapolis.
It didn't make it.
I like Indianapolis. It's a good town. So thank you, Indy, and thank you, America, and the rest of the world, including those friends of ours overseas in those countries like, say, Australia and France.
Yeah.
And Niger.
Yeah. Get out and vote, or don't vote.
Yeah. Make a statement, I guess, either way. Thanks for listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast.